Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where, guess what, we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors, and we do so with all of you, all of you. So we invite you this morning to make a phone call to 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. That's 410-922-6680. And if you're on a landline, if you still have a phone in your home and you're outside the local Baltimore dialing area where we're located here in Pikesville, maybe you're on the Eastern Shore, Western Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, something like that, and happen to be listening this morning, you'd like to call us, you can call us toll-free here in Maryland, 800-922-6680. So we welcome your phone calls. Did not attend the waterfowl meeting to discuss the proposals on the waterfowl seasons. I don't really have a dog in that fight. I'm not in that industry. I'm not in that business. I'm not a guide. I'm not an outfitter. I'm not a sea duck captain. But some of those guys, I'm sure, were there and tried to finagle the seasons within the guidelines to the way that they thought it should work based on, you know, when they see the birds coming in, when it's the best time of the year. I know some of the offshore sea duck captains were saying bring it in early November, you know, and take it out earlier. And the guys on the bay and on the inland rivers were saying, you know, look, these birds don't show up down south here in Maryland till, you know, 1st of December. So, you know, keep it through the end of January. So the sea duck season was cut from 107 to 60 days. So these guys are fighting for their days, fighting for their the best, you know, days that they can go and hunt. And I don't blame them. So anyway, that public comment period is over on the 14th. Today's the 12th. That would be tomorrow's 13th. And then Monday at midnight, the comment period online is over for the migratory game bird season. So if you want to comment online, search the DNR website and you can make that comment if you'd like. The way it's set up right now is the youth waterfowl hunting days are November 5th and February 11th. And then proposed regular duck season would run October 15th through the 22nd. The second and third split would be November 12th through the 25th, and then December 13th through January 28th. And then the sea duck season runs November 5th through January 13th. And the federal framework reduced that season, as I mentioned, from 107 to 60 days. And then the migrant Canada goose season would be split in its traditional two segments, November 19th through the 25th and December 16th through February 4th. And then there's mourning doves as well. So, hey, stay tuned. We're working on something for the Maryland Hunting Coalition that you would be interested in. All this came down yesterday and the day before. We're really, really working on something spectacular from the end of March where we have our benefit on March 26th till into hunting season, and it will be something that you might want to think about and get involved in. So we'll make that announcement when the time is right. But and I'm not trying to tease you unnecessarily. I'm just saying all the details aren't in place, but it involves a nice hunt and a nice giveaway. So we'll let you know on that. Let's see. Sunday, a week ago, we went to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation benefit in Clarksville. It was the Baltimore chapter. Had a good time. Met a lot of folks. Saw a lot of folks there. Some listeners. Some folks that, you know, are loyal to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And God bless them. Good for them. You know, it's a good organization. If you're, if you hunt in the West and you want to have some lands, you know, preserved for you to hunt, well, that's kind of what the Elk Foundation does. So the land goes to, or the money that's raised goes to the, you know, the fund to purchase property and pay for habitat for the elk, which benefits everything else too, the mule deer and the antelope and mountain lions and everything, you know, everything that lives in the Rockies, including grizzly bears. Coffee's almost too hot to drink. Hold on. Good stuff. So, we did that. That was a lot of fun. Did not attend the meeting for the waterfowl things, as I mentioned. Also coming up to close the comment period for is the comments on the proposed hunting and trapping regulation changes for 2016, 17, and 2017, and 18. A fair amount of comments online, and that's the best place to comment. That comment period closes on March 15th. There are a number of proposals. One, I don't think anybody has any issues with, and that's, you know, if you provide false information when you check in your deer or your turkey, whether it's, you know, checking in a buck as a doe or, you know, checking in a deer that you didn't shoot. In other words, a ghost deer, you know, there's no deer. You just call the hotline and check something in just to, I don't know, you know, get it on record that you killed a doe and, you know, so you can take your bonus buck tag. Ridiculous. So, you know, the ridiculous act that people do. As many deer as we're allowed to take here in Maryland, it's crazy. And then there's a proposal to set a distance, for example, 150 yards for turkey hunters, and turkeys must be from a bait source to be legal. It allows you to still bait one end of the property and hunt turkeys on the other. Same thing for bears. The baiting, you know, distance away from somebody who's baiting for deer. They also want to expand the bear hunting zone to include Washington and Frederick counties and allow the your sub-permittee to hunt black bears regardless of whether the permittee is hunting or not. In other words, if I pull a bear tag on the lottery and I pick, you know, you to go bear hunting with me, we both go up there. Maybe I have to leave after the first day or the second day, but you can continue to stay and hunt. I don't necessarily have to be there for you to hunt. That's one of the proposals, to allow the sub-permittee to continue to hunt whether or not the permittee is on hand. Interesting proposal. Nothing much else there. A little thing about the CWD area, about moving deer carcasses in and out of that area. Allow people to use electronic calls for deer. God knows how many people actually do that. I guess it's okay. Somebody that can't blow a grunt call or a doe bleat or a fawn distress call, you know, pretty simple to learn how to use that. If you recall, back in the day, during when you and I were kids, some of you, we had a herder's catalog that we looked at. And there was always this deer call in there that was, you know, two blocks of wood with a rubber band stretched between them. And you wondered how that noise could make a deer show up. But people that bought them and tried them swore by them. And it was basically a doe bleat or a fawn distress call, depending on how you blew it. And, you know, deer don't... back then, weren't used to hearing humans trying to call them. And there weren't, you know, there weren't many buck grunts, but you know, the Indians were using the rolled up tube of birch bark to call in bull moose, but the deer hunters didn't have the sophistication that they have now. So we've come a long way in the years that I've been on this earth, from the Indian deer lore, the Indian deer call to allowing electronic calls to be used, so you can. You know, you can put your grunt call out there, you put your predator call out there, and you can sit back and use your remote and project that sound anywhere you want it to be. And, oh, my gosh, it's crazy. And then the other thing is to remove the county restrictions for sick of deer hunting. If you'd like to comment on any of those things, again, available online. Public comment period closes March 15th, but Monday night in Hagerstown, at the South Hagerstown High School, that's on 1101 South Potomac Street in Hagerstown, there will be a public hearing on these proposed regulations. And I guess that area is pretty much affected by the deer and turkey baiting and the increase in the deer and the bear season in the Washington and Frederick County. So I don't know if I'll go to that or not. We will see. Hey, here's my buddy John in North Carolina. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, I took the CVA muzzleloader out yesterday.
You did? The one you won?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The first time, I used 95 grains of Blackhorn 209, and it was drizzly here, but from 50 yards, you know, I'm going to have to finish sighting in closer to the season, naturally, when
sure,
I get to
sure.
the proper range and bench rest it. But
sure.
Took it out of 50 yards, and I'll tell you, it was what I loved about it. There was no fooling around. Three shots, and I'm 0 to 50 yards.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But you know how those things can sometimes go. And yeah. I don't care what kind of gun.
No, that's true. That's
yeah,
true. You sit
so
there.
So much trouble getting on paper.
Oh, yeah.
But I took one shot at 25 yards, then two shots at 50. You know, if I was ready to deer hunt for a normal close shot,
you'd be ready. What optics did you put on the gun?
I took the one off my old gun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 1.5 to 4.5 Bushnell something.
Mm-hmm.
It's an older scope.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it for a long time. It's got the circle reticle.
Oh yeah, I have a couple of those. Yep, they were good. Still are good. You know, unless you do a lot of shooting and you can, you know. Lower end scope like that, if you do a tremendous amount of shooting, especially with shotguns or something like that, I mean, you can blow them up a little bit, but
right,
you know,
yeah.
But on a muzzleloader, they're perfectly fine. Should last you a long,
yeah.
long time.
So, mostly, and the cleanup, because I'm using Blackhorn, I don't have to sweat it.
Right,
but the cleanup, taking the breech plug out,
isn't that
by hand?
Isn't that a dream?
Oh God! And all you do is. Take a couple patches, push it through,
yep.
You're done.
You're done, exactly right. Yep.
I
yeah.
don't have to get the boiling water.
Mm-mm.
And,
mm-mm.
It was great. That's all I can say.
You're happy. You sound like you're a giddy little kid there for some reason.
Oh,
it's great.
Well, you know how cleaning the old... I've got a black diamond. It's that... It's
yep.
designed like the Buckhorn Snaghorn
yep. yep.
series. And... It's a good gun. It
sure.
shoots well, but boy, those things are they're a mess
to clean. Absolutely, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
They're,
exactly.
They're difficult to disassemble because
sure.
you're fighting the spring.
Right. But on
this
deal,
thing it's a real step up.
It's a pipe with a threaded end, and you take the threaded end out by hand. And that's it.
Yeah.
So
and you can't reach anything because your scope's in the way.
No, this not on this one, though.
No. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, this one, you just take the barrel off the frame if you want.
If you want, sure. Yeah.
I mean, it was amazingly better.
Well, that's nice.
I knew it was going to be, and it turned out it went even better than I thought.
Good. We have a great working relationship with the folks at CVA, and they've provided a beautiful Optima V2 camo stainless steel with a scope and a case for the it's called their outfit. They call it outfit, you know, and it's that's upcoming for the coalition dinner. Your brother's going to be there, so
yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, you never know. He could go home with that, so it's very possible. Very possible, you know. It'll be up there. It'll be available up for grabs. So indeed.
So. Well, deer hunting's contagious.
It is. So it can be.
They'll pick it up.
You never know. You never know. So I know he's listening, so it's all good. So, well,
yeah.
John, that's great. I'm glad to hear that gun worked out well for you. I don't often hear, you know, back from folks who win those firearms. I mean, we've got, you know, how many years now? Probably got 25 or 30 of them out there. And, you know, one of the fellows from Westminster calls from time to time, but, you know. And
I know I mentioned it, you know, if I had not won it, I've been entering the contest for years.
Yep.
Really, they lost a sale because I was going to buy one anyway.
Sure, sure.
You know, I was just tired of wrestling with the old one.
Well, sure. Yep.
And this one is so much easier to maintain.
Indeed. Well, buddy, I appreciate the call.
All right. Well, have a wonderful day.
You do the same. You take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Thanks, John. Bye-bye. There he goes. Jerry in Dundalk, good morning. How are you?
Okay. I first have a question. What is a baby seagull called? Is it a gosling?
A baby seagull? I don't know.
And what about a baby pigeon? Is that a gosling?
No. The only thing I know is a gosling is a baby goose.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
So that's one to look up, right?
Yeah. Well, since we don't normally hunt seagulls and we don't hunt pigeons, some people do.
Yes, sir.
You know, we don't really worry about the immature ones or what they're called.
People train pigeons, right? Don't some people train pigeons?
I guess they do, but no, I don't. So it's.
Well, I know you don't.
No,
but
listen, there's people train pigeons to race. It's a very highly competitive sport, and I know we used to have a bunch of folks that raised pigeons and raced pigeons. Listen to that show, so maybe they can call us in and tell us what baby pigeons are called. I wouldn't know other than eggs.
That's a great idea. And also, this is another thing that got me thinking. Did you see the movie with Jane Fonda and Michael Sarrazin called They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
Yeah, that was many moons ago.
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
And getting back to last week.
No, I don't want to go back to last
week. Well, I have to.
No, you don't.
Okay, let me say my piece, sir. I got a call from the owner, and she said, make an offer. I cannot call out of state. I can just call in state. And I don't know what that means, make an offer. I just want the 18 acres. I do not want the property.
Jerry, again, I don't want to get into this.
I don't know what to do. Should I write her a letter?
That'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
You can't call out of state. Okay. Stan, good morning. How are you, sir? Is Stan up and running?
Yeah, Mr. Allen,
hey,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. How you doing, buddy?
I'm cruising the city boulevard.
God bless you. Better you than me.
Yeah. It's what you call some serious multitasking here, trying to hold this thing steady. What I called for, you were talking about CVS or CVA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, I was just reading this in my new NRA Rifleman. And apparently, they've got a sister company, or they bought another company that is designing bolt actions.
Yeah.
And I hear that they are tax drivers, from what I understand. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't. I mean, they got into the interchangeable rifle barrel business a while back, like Thompson Center had.
Yeah.
And, you know, they own Bergera Barrels, and they own a sling company and some other stuff, but I haven't really gone that deep as far as the bolt action rifles are concerned, but I'll certainly discuss it with them.
Well, your opinion, sir, would mean a lot to me.
Listen, I've been shooting their guns for a long time, and I've been promoting them for a long time, and knowing the president and knowing how they do business there, I wouldn't have any hesitation to buy anything from those guys.
Yeah, well, while we're on the subject, your producer asked me to hold on. That's about the only way I'm going to be able to hear this show today.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm going to be out of range in a little bit, but when you said to the last gentleman that called many moons?
Yes, many moons ago, yes.
I believe the term is many summers. Moons are months.
Right.
Summers are years.
Just an expression there, Stan. Thank you for the correction, however. Jeez.
All right, Mr. Allen.
All right, buddy. You got it. All right.
All right.
Take care.
You.
Bye-bye. Many summers ago. All right. Russell in Baltimore, good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. Do you think there's any chance that Maryland will try to build a sustainable elk population in Western Maryland? West Virginia, I understand, is trying to.
Yeah. We tried that effort a few years ago, and it was rejected by the county commissioners and the Farm Bureau. Citizens were in favor of it. They did a very extensive and expensive survey among citizens and hunters up there, and most of those folks were in favor of it, but it got killed. The proposal got killed by the county commissioners and the Farm Bureau up there. They said, we got enough problems with deer. We don't want other big grazers up here. And, you know, that little panhandle up there in Western Maryland, I'm not sure if there was enough contiguous habitat to actually put in a test herd of elk that wouldn't wander into Pennsylvania, wouldn't wander into West Virginia. So, you know, it was a very expensive effort, and it was tried, and it was done the right way, and it was just not accepted by the stakeholders in the community up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it failed. That's what happened.
All right, good enough. Thank you very much.
They need to start. They need 250 square miles to start of habitat. And some areas up there have that. But, you know, given their proximity to Pennsylvania, given their proximity to West Virginia, we don't know what's going to happen. Just don't. And like I said, the local body politic did not accept it.
All right.
Okay.
Good enough. Thanks a lot.
All right. Just thought I'd let you know. Yep. Good question. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. Hey, our buddies down at Clyde Sports Shop. I had a friend of mine who drove to and from Buffalo, New York, and listened to podcasts. I don't know if he was on his way up or on his way home. But I said, he called me yesterday. I said, I just had to hear the sound of your voice. I said, why? He said, well, I've been listening to it for the last so many hours. I said, oh, man, you're crazy. I said, you want me to do a Clyde's commercial for you? He goes, no, I could probably do one for you. So I'm going to do one for you all, folks. They're Ready to Rock sales coming up next Friday. It begins March 18th. And runs for 10 days through Sunday, March 27th. Now, everything's on sale. All the rockfish trolling baits and lures are on sale. You can save on premium monofilament line. And how you do that is you sit home today or this weekend and you pull all the old line off your spools that, has been laying on there for 2 or 3 years. You strip all that off. You head down to Clyde's with your reels and they'll fill those spools up with brand new fresh line starting at just 1 cent per yard. But any premium monofilament, you know, the Strand and the Berkeley, that's all going to be just half price. That's right. Now, look, there's also a Penn reel special. If you like trolling reels, this is a new one from Penn. It's called the Warfare, W-A-R-F-A-R-E. It's a 30-weight, and it's a level-wind reel. It's just $89.95. All the trolling combos are on sale, too, including the most popular trolling combo at $139.95. That's the Penn 330 GT2 with an Andy 20- to 50-pound rod and line ready to go. Penn 309 reel and a Shakespeare rod, 6-foot rod with a roller tip and line, is just $89.95 for another trolling combo at a great price. Shakespeare, Fluger, rods and reels on sale. Ugly stick rods are all on sale. Check everything out at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. They've got everything. They've got a 24-hour fishing hotline. They've got all the live bait all the time, all the terminal tackle, and free advice. The fishing hotline number, 410-242-6108. I'm sorry. That's the regular number, 242-6108. The fishing hotline number is 247-3474. You can call that right now and get the fishing report, 247-FISH. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
People pouring over our borders, wave after wave after wave of people who do not share our cultural beliefs, our beliefs about government, who do not seek to become American citizens.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Little Hank Jr. there for you.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plan, but it came undone when it got around to goddamn guns.
Gods and guns.
Well, I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country
go. All right, 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. A little quick research, come to find out that a baby seagull is called a chick. And a baby pigeon, according to my buddy John, is called a squab. I thought you ate squab. I don't know. I don't know if you ever eat a seagull. Why would you? Number one, they're protected. Would I eat a city pigeon? Doubt it. Would I eat a pigeon that's out in the country somewhere? Maybe. But, you know, the guys that raise them and race them, they lose them all the time. Sometimes you'll see a pigeon out there in the dove field or, you know, flying around the barn or something like that. Have no clue. I don't know what they call home, but it ain't in the guy's barn, you know, pooping on his hay. Shot a lot of them on my uncle's property. You know, that was a great pastime on the 4th of July and Labor Day, is go up and flush the pigeons out of the barn. He didn't like them. They set up in the rafters and spoiled the hay. So you flush them out of the barn, and you got somebody waiting, usually two or three or four of my uncles out there with their shotguns. And, you know, pull! Hey, kids, go up there in the barn and chase them pigeons out.
Okay.
Run around, climb up on the hay. You know,
here they come.
They fly out the little holes in the corner of the barn. Then there was the Higgins pigeon shoot, you know. You ever hear of that? The animal rights people tried to shut that down. Town of Higgins was going to shut it down anyway. You put live pigeons in a trap, you release the pigeons, go up and you take them out with shotguns. Live pigeon shoot. You know, figured now that we have sporting clays and trap and skeet and wobble trap and all that good stuff, you know, we don't need to use the live pigeons anymore. So the town of Higgins was actually going to shut that live pigeon shoot festival, whatever they called it, down. I mean, it brought a lot of shooters into town, you know, to shoot the pigeons. So the animal rights people decided that it was time to shut that thing down because it was just cruel, you know, and so they started protesting, and the more they protested, the more the Higgins pigeon shoot grew. And the louder they got, the more gunners showed up, and the more the town did well during a pigeon shoot that they were going to close until the animal rights people got there. And then the animal rights people showed up in droves and numbers, and the restaurants flourished, and the rooms were booked in town. And that went on for a few years until I think they chained themselves in a human chain around concrete barriers, or, you know, rolled concrete pipes onto the street, and you know, handcuffed themselves in the concrete pipes, and the police couldn't get them out, didn't know how to do it, and just figured let them there. But now they had to get them out of there, and then at that point, I think they said enough is enough. So, town of Higgins, Pennsylvania. Look it up, Google it. Yep, it was a dying deal until the animal rights people showed up and started an economic boom for the town of Higgins. Higgins or Higgins, I can't remember which. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We would appreciate your phone calls. Call about anything you want to call about. Even you want to call about striped bass season. That comes in on April 16th. Some discussion the other day, and not a lot of good discussion. The spring limit is one fish daily, 35 inches or larger. 35 inches. Yep. Spring season for the state fish, striped bass. Keep in mind, those of you who are concerned about making the canvasback duck the state duck trying to protect it, well, the striped bass is the state fish, and we still catch plenty of them. Kicks off on April 16th in Maryland's portion of the Chesapeake Bay. Spring recreational fishing opportunities for striped bass, locally known as rockfish, will run April 16th through May 15th with a catch limit of one fish per person per day, 35 inches or larger. If I were going to do that, I would probably be fishing down south somewhere, out of Solomons or somewhere like that, down in the Lower Bay. For Maryland anglers, the spring trophy rockfish season is more than just a new opportunity to fish, said Director Dave Blazer, fisheries director. The season signals the beginning of spring and the return of milder temperatures, fresh seafood, chance to spend time with family and friends out on the water. After that, May 16th through December 20th, the summer season in the Bay and its tidal tributaries, the combined summer and fall season, remains the same as 2015. Anglers can keep two fish per day, 20 inches or longer, with only one being over 28 inches. And the size is measured from the tip of the snout to the tip of the tail. And again, much discussion on that tip of the tail in a shop the other day. Do you squeeze the tail? Do you spread the tail? What are you trying to accomplish? There's always a way. Current Atlantic and Ocean and Maryland Coastal Bay striped bass limit is still one fish per day with a minimum length of 28 inches. The department is considering changes for the 2016 coastal season, available for review and comment on its website. And the reservoirs like Liberty and Piney Run and Tridelphia, Conowingo, Broadford Lake, and Rocky Gorge are also open to fishing for striped bass year-round with an 18-inch minimum size, two fish per day possession limit, with only one of the two fish being longer than 30 inches. So there you go. Striped bass in a nutshell. 410-922-6680, 410-WCBM 680. We'll take your phone calls anytime. We need a call. We could always use a call. And I'm not going to beg for calls today. We'll just play some more Hank Williams Jr. and rock on the rest of the day. Or you have to listen to me talk. So, but there is one subject that came up, one topic that came up on the Department of Natural Resources website this week. And apparently there is a report called the Lower Susquehanna River Watershed Assessment Study, conducted by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in coordination with the state of Maryland. It confirms that the Conowingo Dam Reservoir and the two dam reservoirs further upstream have essentially reached their capacity and are no longer capable of trapping sediment and associated nutrients over the long term. This is a new finalized report on the Conowingo Dam, and it underscores the urgency of finding innovative multi-state solutions to reduce the water pollution that threatens the Chesapeake Bay. In other words, when you drive across Conowingo Dam on Route 1, if you look to the right, you will see the Susquehanna River. You will see when the gates are open, you will see the river flowing rather quickly. When the gates are closed, you will see there are exposed rocks and shorebirds over there. The further across the bridge you go, the more rocky it gets, and you know the less water you see. About halfway across, it starts to turn into that. But those gates will allow certain amounts of water through. When it rains upstream, those gates are used to control the flow of water. They're used to control, you know, any flooding or anything like that, keeping water from, you know, crashing over the dam and onto the roadway and so forth. But behind that wall, if you're driving from Harford to Cecil County, on that wall, on that bridge, when you're going across there into the town, you know, towards the town of Conowingo, if you look to your left, it looks beautiful and calm and nice out there in Conowingo Lake or Conowingo Dam, whatever you want to call that up there. But you will see a tremendous amount of floating trash that has come down through the river, styrofoam cups and plastic jugs and gas cans and all that stuff. Well, right underneath that pile of plastic junk that is floating up there, there's a tremendously deep pile of sediment piled up behind that dam. And it is at capacity. The dam cannot hold any more dirt, any more sludge, any more silt. So when they open those those gates to control the water flow, that stuff at the bottom, that stuff that's submerged to the bottom, that dirt, that muck, that silt, that gunk, washes into the Susquehanna River and has been doing so for many, many summers. I hope I said it right there, Stan. So now the finalized report says can't hold any more of that gunk. Neither can the one upstream from that, neither can the one upstream from that. So what do we do? Every time we open the generation schedule, every time you call and get the generation schedule so you know when to go fishing up there, they're releasing all this goo into our Susquehanna River and consequently into the bay. And this is the stuff that silts over the bottom of the river. This is the stuff that silts on the upper levels of the bay and covers the bottom, covers the seagrasses, covers the submerged aquatic vegetation, won't allow the sunlight through to promote photosynthesis on those underwater grasses, and it causes, it's bad for the bay. Okay, now, that's what the report says. Let's go on. The assessment also found that the sediment and nutrients swept over the dam during large storm events are among the pollution sources that should be addressed to protect water quality and the aquatic life in the Chesapeake Bay. Another major finding is that nutrients that enter the river upstream of the dams from Pennsylvania and New York and attach to sediment particles before flowing downstream into the bay have a larger impact on water quality than the sediment itself. So in other words, the nutrients, primarily phosphorus and nitrogen, that attach to the sediment will flow into the bay and promote an algae bloom, which is what those nutrients do. Remember, they're nutrients. This is why they're called pollution. They're nutrients. They promote algae growth. The algae then attaches itself to the leaves of the submerged aquatic vegetation, the SAVs, and prevents the sunlight from reaching the leaves. Sediment, remember, the sediment covers the bottom, but the nutrients create the algae blooms during the summer. The algae settles on the leaves of the submerged aquatic vegetation and doesn't allow the leaves to soak in the sunshine to create photosynthesis, to, you know, create chlorophyll for the plants to eat, and they die. It's done. That's what happens. It's a very simple process. It's nature at work. So, here's what the Maryland Environment Secretary Ben Grumble said. Maryland stands ready to work in collaboration with our upstream neighbors and federal partners to fix the shared sediment and associated nutrients problem. We must all embrace innovative and cost-effective solutions to ensure the cleanup of the Chesapeake Bay and reduce the Conowingo's impact on meeting our water quality standards in all bay segments. In other words, we got to do something about it. We've already committed $14.4 billion to bay cleanup. It's already there, already committed, ready to go. We just have to implement the plan. Modeling analysis shows that while sediments generally settle out of the water column within days or weeks, nutrients attached to the sediment can fuel algal growth and contribute to the lower dissolved oxygen levels, affecting water quality and underwater ecosystems. I think I just said that in a very simple way. As a result, even with full implementation of Maryland's federally required bay cleanup plan, it will not be enough to achieve water quality standards in the three upper and mid-bay segments without strong action from upstream states between 2017 and 2025, in the next 10 years. The Environmental Protection Agency has established water pollution limits. The Chesapeake Bay total maximum daily load. And you will read TMLD, or TMDL in a number of, you know, if you're interested in water quality in Chesapeake Bay, you'll see that TMDL said all the time. That's the total maximum daily load of nutrients going into the bay, which must be met by 2025 by Maryland and other Bay watershed states. The EPA said it would consider increasing its expectations for state progress in bay cleanup if monitoring indicates that Conowingo Dam's capacity to trap sediments is reduced, as the newly finalized study shows. So Maryland expects the Environmental Protection Agency will give new consideration to these findings, since it was previously assumed that the Conowingo Dam would not lose its capacity for 15 to 30 years. Too bad. It already has. So, it goes on. The assessment also recommends that the state and its partners carry out more lower Susquehanna River monitoring modeling to better measure medium to high flow event impacts on the bay. It also suggests that these results be used to inform the midpoint assessment in an effort to be proactive. Maryland agencies, federal partners, and Exelon, the power company that owns the dam, heeded these suggestions from the early assessment and initiated a lower Susquehanna River enhanced monitoring and modeling effort in 2015. Therefore, Maryland has been a leader in promoting viable management solutions like increased nutrient and sediment reduction practices, land conservation, dredging and beneficial reuse of dredged materials, public-private partnerships, and market-based interstate water quality trading. So in other words, after it's all said and done, Conowingo did what it was supposed to do, but it just didn't do it long enough. It held the sediment back, but supplies the power source for Exelon and supplies electricity, but it doesn't do the bay any good. Is that what I read? I don't know. 410-922-6680 if you'd like to comment on that. I'd like to comment on Clyde's Sports Shop Ready to Rock sale starting next Friday, the 18th. All the ugly stick rods are on sale. All the ugly stick rods are on sale. All the Shakespeare rods are on sale. All the Shakespeare reels are on sale. All the Pfluger rods and reels are on sale. I will never forget. My dad had a beautiful Pfluger rod and reel bait casting set up. And he used it to troll in Canada, and he took it with him all the time and never really learned to cast it, but he used it primarily for trolling. And I was trolling with it one day up in Lake Somerset. I don't know if a fish bit it, if it caught a snag or a weed or a rock or a tree. Over the end of the boat it went. Never saw it again. Sorry, Dad. But if you want to troll, the most popular trolling combo is a Penn 3030 GT2 with an Andy rod. It's a 20 to 50 pound Andy rod and line as well, $139.95. And then you got trolling combos for as low as $89.95, which was a Penn 309, a Shakespeare BWB 125 6-foot rod with a roller tip and line. So the trolling rods and reels are all on sale. And the special Penn reel is the Warfare. It's a 30-pound class reel with a level wind, $89.95. And don't forget, you can fill your reels for half price. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. For Clyde Sports Shop and that 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-FISH, 247-3474.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833. 8410 W&W Tire and Auto.
The Super Tuesday of Super Tuesdays. Will it all be over in the presidential sweepstakes on the nominees? We'll talk about it on the next Tom Marr Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBI.
I went a fishing one day, and I put my hook out in the water, and something got a hold to it, and it tried to get loose. When I pulled it up, it was a big fish on the hook. He was a twisting and a turning, trying to get loose. But the hook had him down, and he couldn't get loose. And I said, I wish the Lord would hook me one day like this hook fish. He hooked his feeling in me, and one Friday evening, he came into my soul, and he hooked me with his spirit. And ever since that day, a song come into my mind. I said it like a Jeremiah say, there's a fire now that's burning. Couldn't hold my pee, and I told my mother, but that wasn't enough. I told my father, and I told my sister too, and I went on and told my brother what was wrong with me, and this is what I told him in a song. I said, Lord, Jesus got a hook in me.
Sing it, Hank, baby.
I don't want to get loose.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus got a hook in me. I don't want to get loose. Wrapped up.
Tangled up.
I don't want to get loose.
All right, enough of that. All right. Wrapped up, tangled up in Jesus. Hank Jr., got to dig it. That's his new CD, by the way, called It's About Time. Only has one song on there, really, that I recognize, Born to Boogie. And it's a remake. It's pretty good. All right. Wow. How do you follow that? We could do that with a phone call. We got time for one short phone call. Huh? Do what? I should have done a sermon. That's all right. I let Hank do this preaching this morning. That's good for him.
All right, we come we're coming up on the top of the hour. Our new our guest for the next hour is going to be the new artificial reef coordinator at DNR, Michael Malpezzi. Mike's going to call us, and he's got some good stuff. He's going to tell us where to fish and be productive on the artificial reef program, and that'll be a good time, that's for sure. I do want to remind you that our benefit for the Maryland Hunting Coalition is coming up on March 26th. It's at Martin's in Westminster. What a beautiful venue. We reviewed the menu. We've got roast beef. We've got, you know, carved roast beef. We've got carved turkey. We've got carved ham. We've got steamed shrimp. We've got Italian sausages with onions and peppers. We've got meatballs. We've got fried chicken. We've got mac and cheese. We've got all mashed potatoes and gravy and all the vegetables and all the salads and all the desserts, your soft drinks and your beer is free, and it's all for one ticket. We have got some of the finest stuff that you're going to find as far as auction and raffle items are concerned. We got some really good shotguns. We got some really good bows. We've got a redneck blind, soft-sided 6x6 redneck blind, and a stand for that that was donated by the folks at Rednecks Blind. Steve House, the local dealer up there in Western Maryland and Pennsylvania. We've got a Monte Feltre, a Benelli Monte Feltre. We've got a Browning Silver Hunter. We've got all kinds of guns and bows and equipment and artwork. We've got a signed 2015 duck stamp with a remark from Jim Taylor, the artist. That's going to go on sale. Boy, we've got so much. We've got two African safaris. We've got a dove hunt for Argentina, four men for 4 days. You name it, we've got it. So check out MarylandHuntingCoalition.org. Now get out, stay out, and stay safe.